Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is a TD Thursday on the program today. Teron Davenport going to join us shortly. He'll be with us throughout the full show talking Titans. Also, your chance to talk to TD coming up at 10. We are bringing the segment back. Took a week off last week, but your chance to talk to TD, get your questions in. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD running a couple minutes late. He will be in here in just a second. Also, Andrew Allegretta will join us for his weekly visit to the program, talking Vandy football coming up at 11 a.m. as they get set for a big one out in Columbia, South Carolina, as the Commodores take on the number 11 Gamecocks, trying to get to 3-0. So should be a fun show today. Again, getting ready for Titans and Rams coming up on Sunday. We got to hear from the Titans for the first time since Monday yesterday. Heard from Brian Callahan, heard from Cam Ward. Also got an injury update. And Parker, as we kind of expected, J.C. Latham not on the practice field. Not exactly feeling great about his chances to play on Sunday. Today's going to be a big day. I think it would be tough for him to not practice Wednesday and Thursday and then find himself onto the field on Sunday. But as we saw with Dan Moore last week, he was a DNP Wednesday, was able to practice Thursday, and was good to go on Sunday. So this is going to be a big day for J.C. Latham if he's going to be ready for that game against the Rams.
Yeah, and going up against the Rams defensive line, who we talked about all week, probably a little bit better than the Broncos defensive line, you're not going to feel great if you're the Titans if you're trotting out Ollie Udo out there at right tackle. So you're really hoping, praying that J.C. Latham will get back out there at right tackle, but it will be a tough turnaround if he's not. If he didn't practice yesterday, who knows what he'll be if he'll be practicing or not today. So yeah, just you gotta hope that he's out there.
And it's tough because the offensive line in general wasn't very good on Sunday against the Broncos. Taking away your right tackle doesn't make you feel a whole lot better. I saw a cut up, and I believe it was No Flags Film, James Foster on Twitter, of Dan Moore's day. It could have been Iron City Film, who also does a good job with Titans film, showing Dan Moore's cut up from Sunday, and man, it was not good. Not good for Dan Moore. And again, it was against Nick Bonito, who is a very talented pass rusher, and most of the bad reps did come against him. So you got to, you know, qualify it with he's not going to be facing a pass rusher of that caliber every single week, but you'd like for him to have held his own a little bit better against a guy like that, because you are going to see good pass rushers in the NFL. Jared Verse this week, the Colts, maybe it's a little bit of a step back, but Will Anderson's coming up against the Texans. It's not going to get a whole lot easier throughout the season. Dan Moore's got to be better than what we saw on Sunday.
And Dan Moore by no means is an elite left tackle, but if I'm paying top dollar for a service, if I'm paying you $80 million to play a left tackle to protect the blind side of my hopeful-to-be franchise quarterback, I expect you to put up more of a fight than what you did on Sunday. You're going to get beat against guys like Myles Garrett. You're going to get beat against guys like Trey Hendrickson, TJ Watt, those types of people. But I need you to clean it up a little bit, because yeah, you're getting paid $80 million, and I expect that service to work.
Right, and we talked about Dan Moore. No one's expecting Dan Moore to go out there and be an all-pro tackle. Like, yeah, you gave him $80 million, but that was because that's the going rate for a starting tackle when they hit the free agent market. No one's expecting him to come out and be an all-pro right off the bat. But you got to hold your own against really good pass rushers, and you've got to be good against average pass rushers. He was not good against Nick Bonito, and doesn't exactly make me feel great, Cam Ward having to go out there on Sunday if his two tackles are Dan Moore and Ollie Udo. Because Udo, when he was out there, I get it. Having a whole week to prepare is a little different than being thrown in there when maybe you weren't expecting to. So maybe Ollie Udo will look a little bit better this Sunday, but it was not good against the Broncos in week one. Six sacks, 12 quarterback hits. You can't have that for Cam Ward early on in his career.
No, and yeah, you mentioned, but you still have to prepare like you're going to be the starter, even if you're not. But it was short notice, and yeah, if he's out there, it's kind of much of the same of what we were talking about last year with the Titans offensive line. So just, again, hopeful that J.C. Latham is going to be able to be out there on Sunday for your team.
Yeah, going to be an interesting injury report coming up today. See if J.C. Latham can at least get out there in a limited fashion if he's going to be ready for Sunday. And if you are watching the stream, you know that Teron Davenport just pulled in. TD, thanks for bearing through the traffic to get here. It's always hit or miss. If you leave too early, you get here 30 minutes early. But if you leave on time, you get here late.
A six-minute ride was 19 minutes today.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I cannot believe it. I don't know what's going on Bell Road and Murfreesboro Pike, but Lord have mercy.
There was something on 40 and 24 today, and I guess they're rerouting a bunch of traffic, so that could have been it. I saw something on Twitter about traffic. But
it's crazy.
Appreciate you you working through it to get here. We'll have TD for the full show again. If you have questions for TD, we're going to do our Talk to TD segment coming up at 10 a.m. You can text or call any questions for TD. Titans, NFL, Mets, life, everything. Make sure you get those in, 615-737-1025. So, TD, I know you've been on some of the shows as a guest, but just overall takeaways from week one. Obviously, there was a lot to be said about Brian Callahan and the decisions that he made. Cam Ward, statistically, the debut didn't look great in the box score, but when you watch the film, there was a lot to like. What were your thoughts on the Titans' week one loss against the Broncos?
Well, that's the whole thing. You could tell who watched and who didn't watch by what they say from Cam Ward. And I'll say this. It's not like, look, let's not anoint him, Patrick Mahomes, or anything like that. There's a lot to build upon. There were throws that he made. I know they were 2 or 13 or 2 or 14 on third down, but one of those third downs, the first one that he faced, you saw the Cam Ward experience.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's something that you have to look at. Then you look at the throw he had to Calvin Ridley backed up in his own end zone. You know, he eluded some pressure. I don't know how he saw, and I should have asked him, shame on me for not, because like somehow he's, you know, fooling around on this side of the field and he sees Ridley over there and he throws it. Then you look at the opposite hash to sideline throw with Gunnar Helm on the deep outbreaking route, the corner route that he threw that shouldn't have been overturned. There were a lot of throws, but then you have the sacks that he took.
Right.
Right? Those are things you cannot do. Then you have there were a couple times where he was a little bit rushed in the pocket. There were a couple times where he fled the pocket a little too early. And these are things you're going to encounter when you have a guy like that in his first start against a defense like that. So I think – all things remaining equal, there's a lot to grow upon. Also, Brian Callahan, what he told me when I asked him about the freedom to check at the line of scrimmage, that last play was actually one of Callahan's favorite plays because he saw the max pressure coming, he switched it up, boom, 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 got the protection. And then even – and it kind of – I think it may have tricked Kaharski because he asked about, you know, the running backs moving from side to side.
Right.
Right? And he – I think he interpreted that as the guys not knowing what they were doing. But that was Ward saying, oh, there's pressure coming from me.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, I need you to go over here because you got to pick that up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They were even putting him like right behind the offensive line, basically saying, yeah, your job here, pick up that guy.
Yeah.
So, but I agree with you. I think the one thing you did notice with Cam Ward is everybody talked about his spatial awareness. And it's just like he has an uncanny ability to just know where everybody is on the field. That first third down, I don't know how he saw Tony Pollard, but he gets it to him. And then the Calvin Ridley one, it's like most quarterbacks just throw that ball into the seats on the far sideline. Instead, he works his way all the way back and finds Calvin Ridley.
Yep, yep. And I think that's one of the examples of why I encourage younger athletes to play multiple sports, because there's different attributes that you could pull from other sports. You know, look at A.J. Brown playing baseball and the ball skills.
Right.
But keeping this on Cam Ward, he was a pretty good hooper. Right. And as a point guard, you know, your job is to distribute the ball. It's a perfect match for a quarterback. But also when you take it to the cup, you're in there with bodies that are bigger than you. So that ability to not go crazy when there's bodies all around you is something that you acquire. I believe that he got that. Even talking to his dad, you know, I think that that's something that he pulled from basketball.
It is. I mean, you talk about point guards who have eyes on the back of their head. Like, it's like they're driving down the lane. It looks like they have no options, and then they kick it to the corner for a wide open three.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it felt like with Cam Ward, especially on
the Ridley one,
where it's like it looks like he's locked up. He's either going to get sacked or have to throw it away, and just worked his way back, and he's got the arm strength to make that throw. And that was one of the more impressive plays we saw from Cam Ward. Obviously, there's a lot to build on for Cam Ward, for this entire team. It's an important week this week against the Rams, and the test doesn't get much easier. Rams, they're a playoff team. They gave the Eagles the best fight they got in the playoffs last season. So going to be a tough one. Cam Ward and this Titans offense looking to improve after not finding the end zone on Sunday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And again, we will talk to TD. You'll talk to TD coming up at 10. Get in your questions on our text line. You can also call in 615-737-1025. Also, Andrew Allegretta from Vanderbilt Football going to join us at 11 to get ready for Commodores and Gamecocks on Saturday. Huge game as the Commodores look to get to 3-0 on the year. We are off and rolling on this TD Thursday. Coming up next, we're going to talk some Brian Callahan. What is most important for Brian Callahan to improve in week two? We saw some issues, whether it was the penalties, the game management, all that kind of stuff. What is most important to see in week two from Brian Callahan to show that he is improving and showing growth in year two as the Titans head coach? We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Wisconsin takes on Alabama this Saturday at 11 a.m. in our college football game of the week on 102.5 The Game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. We've got TD for all 3 hours today, getting ready for Titans and Rams from Nissan Stadium on Sunday. And again, get your questions in. We'll let you talk to TD coming up at 10 a.m. 615-737-1025. So TD, the story this week has been Brian Callahan. And you never, after a loss, want the story to be your head coach. Usually, talking to Corey Curtis yesterday, like, your head coach, he may not win you a game, but he can't lose you a game. And he was a large reason why the Titans did not win that game on Sunday. In my mind, in my eyes, there are three big aspects that Brian Callahan needs to improve upon. Obviously, the penalties is a big thing. He had 130 yards in penalties after preaching no more self-inflicted negatives, no more mental errors, and there were definitely a lot of those on Sunday in Denver. In-game decision-making, the failure to challenge the Elikaya Manor catch, the aggressiveness versus conservatives, but that also may fall into this third one, his offensive flow as a play caller. I think there were times when it looked good, but there are other times when it felt like he was just making the wrong decisions at the wrong time. The end of the first half sequence stands out. Which of those do you think is most important to see Callahan improve? Is it just the idea of being the CEO of the team and making the right in-game decisions, the play calling, or is it this macro, big picture, the team needs to be more disciplined?
That's a tough one to call. I mean, because they almost gave up 1.5 football fields and penalty yards, and that's just – I would probably say the penalties.
Right.
I think that's the biggest thing because a lot of times – well, there were a few times where the penalty led to a new series, a new set of downs for the Broncos. But then other times, you know, you had penalties and it put them back behind the sticks. And what's crazy is one of those penalties, I put them behind the six. They had a 1st and 20. They go deep to Elikaya Manor. Right. And that play, there's so much tied into that play. Because I kept seeing safety shaded away from that side, one-on-one, Elikaya Manor and Riley Moss. And as Jarvis Brownlee loves to say, Imano, Imano. You know, and it's like, you got to take advantage of that. Now, finally, they did in that situation, the 1st and 20, which was caused by a penalty, which goes back to the bigger picture.
Right.
And so do you see how all these things are related?
They all tie together.
Right. And then what happened on the play that was actually completed didn't challenge.
Right.
Misinterpreted or misspoke, whatever it may be, the result that should have happened didn't happen. And that's a collective failure. Nick Holtz, Brian Callahan, Rob Ritterer, Bo Hardigree, Tyke Tolbert. Those guys all should have been on top of that. And I get it, in the heat of the moment, things happen. But in the heat of the moment, guess who was like, hey, that's a catch?
And Amani Hooker.
Amani Hooker,
yep.
Right? So somebody knew in the heat of the moment what it was supposed to be. So I think it's you could say penalties, you could say play calling, but it's all involved,
right?
Really.
And I know that this conversation has been had before this week, but do you think Callahan being the play caller may have inhibited his ability to challenge that play? Because when you're the play caller, you got to get the next call in. Like, the play clock is running. He's got to start looking at that. Maybe if he is not the play caller, he can focus on that and maybe there's a different result. But also, part of that is he has somebody, whether it's Rob Ritter or whether it's Nick Holtz or somebody. Somebody should have been in his ear and telling him.
Yeah.
So
100%. You're 100% right, Jake. Somebody should have been in this. And yes, you know, there are responsibilities that he has to hold. Somebody should have helped him.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? Let's not fire this man yet.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Because if you remember 2018 and into 2019, people were calling Mike Vrabel idiot.
Yeah.
For going for it on certain situations and stuff like that. And we know Mike Vrabel has proven himself to be a wizard of the rule book. I mean, I think there's a strained relationship part because of how he finessed the rules, right?
Right,
with Bill Belichick. I'm not saying Brian Callahan is going to become Mike Vrabel, all right? So don't call me, don't tweet me and all that stuff. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is let's continue to watch this play out. And remember, the expectation was set. I mean, Joe Dubin asked if this team could win a Super Bowl. Chad Brinker laughed.
Yeah.
You know, and Mike Borgonzi, like, that's always the goal. But
he brushed it off, basically.
There's a lot that has to happen for this team to be even competitive.
Yes, and you look back at those Vrabel teams, who knows where this season goes, but Vrabel was pretty horrible in season openers, too.
Yes.
The Dolphins game, I think you can give him a pass because of the
8 hours.
Yeah, the lightning delays and all that. But look back at the Cardinals game.
The Giants.
The Cardinals game, they ended up being the number one seed in the AFC that year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, they got dominated by the Cardinals. DeAndre Hopkins had at least 2 touchdown catches. And that was the game Chandler Jones had 5 sacks against Taylor Lewan. So it's like, it is, week one can be a liar. It is just interesting with that game because I don't think anyone expected the Titans to win. Adam from Portland aside. I think most Titans fans realistically thought the Titans were going to lose that game. But it's the way that they lost it that was so disappointing because Sean Payton and Bo Nix were not good.
Not good.
There were if the Titans win that game, there's a lot of Broncos fans who are wondering what Sean Payton was doing with that. I mean, the fourth down call at the end, he was challenging way too much. I mean, he was wrong on the Chig first down.
Yeah.
Like he got the first one right, which I'm not
wasn't right.
I think that's a catch.
Man, Gunner caught that.
But if they lose that game, Sean Payton, they're not trying to fire him in Denver, but they're having a similar conversation of like he lost that game for us with some of the decisions he made. It is week one. Brian Callahan has a lot to improve upon in all three of those aspects. I agree. I think penalties is big, but I think the play calling in certain situations needs to be better. I mean, the end of the first half sequence, we can start there. I'm okay with throwing it on first down.
Right.
But when it's incomplete, maybe you want to run. The screen play on second down, fine. But when all three of your receivers go to block and you throw it incomplete, that's when you kind of just got to pack it up and say, all right, this isn't going to work. Let's just run it. Make them use a timeout. Make sure we don't give a safety. Give Johnny Hecker room to punt. The third down pass was the most damning when it came to what Brian Callahan did.
That second down, I'm not – that's cool. All right, that's fine. But, dang, you got to execute. You know what I mean? I don't know who it was for sure. I think that one was on Ridley, but and he kind of was like, oh, we just, you know, didn't execute. You know, I get it. But that third down, you got to run the ball.
Yep.
You can't put third and long.
That was the only option.
On the 7-yard line, you can't put your quarterback in that situation. You cannot. He did what he could to get out of the end zone.
Right, by about that much.
I thought it was a safety.
At first look, live, I thought it was a safety too, but Cam did a nice job of actually kind of like falling forward at the end to make sure he didn't get a safety.
Yeah, good awareness.
But honestly, a safety might have worked out better for you.
Yeah, it's 5 points less. For me, though, looking at that, I think big picture thought process, I get you want to be aggressive, and I get that, you know, Joey Sly did make it. Like, he 68, damn near 70.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I get that. But my thing is, look at the big picture. Go into halftime with the 6-3. That, you know, they're getting the ball back. Your defense is balling.
Two turnovers.
They ended up generating a turnover coming out of halftime anyway. So it's just like, yeah, I get being aggressive, but why not be aggressive coming off of the turnovers that you got?
Right.
Got you the ball in plus territory.
Was it after the Woods pick or the strip sack where they ran Pollard, Chestnut, and then kicked the field goal? It's like,
yeah, the strip sack.
Flip the aggressiveness there, and I. Not that you had to throw it three times after that, but that's a sudden change. You got a chance to go make a play and see if you can catch that Broncos defense sleeping a little bit. Instead, you ran it 3rd and 2. You bring Julius Chestnut in, and then you're backed up to your own goal line. You throw it three times. It felt like there wasn't a whole lot of feel for the game plan when it came to Brian Callahan's play calling.
One of those three turnovers, the sudden change, I'm taking advantage of that, and I'm going play action, and I'm throwing the ball
deep shot. Yeah.
One of those. And they ran the ball on after 3 of the 4 turnovers. And those are things that – be aggressive there.
Yeah.
Right? Momentum is real. Let your offense feed off of what the defense did. And that strip sack by Jeffrey Simmons, who had an outstanding game, like, no one's really talking about how well this dude played.
He was dominant.
That strip sack, you know why it happened, right? Go back and watch the All-22. Lejarius Sneed clamped Courtland Sutton. If you watch the end zone copy of the All-22, you're going to see Bo Nix's head looking that way. And it's looking and it's looking, and then it finally comes off. And next thing you know, Simmons, who was getting violated before he split the double team, you know, got the sack. But Sneed shut down Courtland Sutton's route. And I love that, and I've been talking about it all week. I love when the back end helps the front end, but then the front end helps the back end, because what happened when Jeffrey Simmons got the pressure, and everybody says, oh, get the sack, get the sack, get the sack. Yeah, the sack is good. But if you could pressure the quarterback and force him to make a rush throw that's picked off, that's better. And that's what he did on that play where Xavier Woods had to dive an interception.
Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons, if it wasn't for that penalty at the end, I think we would be having lots of conversations this week about how good he was. And it's tough when one boneheaded mistake costs you the admiration that he should be getting, because that was one of the best games we've seen Jeffrey Simmons play in a long time. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can continue to see it. The Rams, 3 of their starting offensive linemen did not practice yesterday. Could be an opportunity for him to have another big game on Sunday against L.A. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Couple more things to get to from that Broncos game with TD. And again, coming up at 10, you can talk to TD. Get your questions in for Teron Davenport, 615-737-1025. Later today on ESPN, 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett at First Horizon Park with the first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at the Game Nashville. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. That was Cam Ward yesterday talking about his debut. I love it. Every time we get TD on, we get to hear, is it DJ?
MCD.
DJ MCD, yeah. Yeah.
This needs to be on rotation at Nissan Stadium, man.
It should. You know what, we had the conversation about no more Ring of Fire as the touchdown song. I kind of like it.
Yeah, no, that would be, man, that come in. Oh, that would be hard. Go ahead, drop it one more time, Parker. Drop it one more time.
What, yeah. With Cam Ward doing the zombie land?
In the circle.
I like it. If anybody out there for the Titans is listening, you know, after the only preseason game at Nissan Stadium, I did come on here and said Ring of Fire needs to be replaced. Mm. We'll see. Regular season game this weekend. We'll see if anybody out there was listening. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have questions for TD, get them in. We will talk to TD coming up at 10, give you a chance to ask your questions. You can text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So Cam Ward's debut, we touched on it a little bit in the first segment. There are a lot of polarizing reactions to Cam Ward's debut. You've got guys like Dan Orlovsky and other guys who watched the film who are saying how great of a debut it was. Dan Orlovsky, I believe he said it was on par with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson in terms of exceeding expectations. Maybe that's a little bit too high on his debut. You've got other people. I've seen tweets from stats guys out there saying that he was objectively awful, which is also just not true. Yeah. It's somewhere in the middle. There were some things that I think he did really well. There were other plays, like Cam Ward said, that he would want back. We'll see how he can adjust heading into week 2.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it, so ESPN and True Media, they charted 3 drops. My editor and I, we went back and forth, and I was like, huh?
Well, Dan Orlovsky said 8.
Dan Orlovsky said 8.
It's somewhere in between.
The one on the 3rd and 10 that got on Chig really fast.
Yeah.
That was not categorized as a drop.
I don't know if I'd call that a drop.
I would.
Really?
You got to make that play.
It was
that situation,
catchable ball, for sure.
It hits your hands. And I think that's just a matter of, I'll drop a little bit of what I'm working on. Alec Iermanner, I talked to him about it, and I remember the first day of minicamp, he was like, man, you got to be on time. Like, Cam is always on time, and if you don't get your head around, you got to make sure.
Gonna hit you in the face mask.
Right, right. And so that's what happened on that play. As soon as he got, because Cam, when he talks to these guys, he said, look, man, every time you pass, and this is something Restrepo told me goes back to Miami. He said, look, every time you pass a defender, make sure that you're looking. Look for the ball. Look for the ball. Because there are certain plays where you may not be supposed to get the ball that early in the route. But if you're beat and he sees it, he's going. And I think that's what happened with the Chig. Not that he wasn't supposed to be open that early in the route. But as soon as he got open, the ball, boom. And they may not be used to that type of impeccable timing. Now, granted, it's not always going to be perfect like that, but I think that's why, and that's a big part to me when you look at the drops, if you adjust the stats, so to speak, because look at the Gunnar Helm one. That was, what, a 15, 16-yard play.
Right.
Look at the Alec Iermanner one. That's 23. Right there, you're talking about 39, 40 yards of and, you know, left on the field.
And 2 more completions, which would have gotten him over 50% without even taking the drops into account. Calvin Ridley had at least 2. The one on the, like, the dagger over the middle, the dig route, where Singleton came hard, but the ball hit him in the hands. He should have
caught it. Oh, you're talking about where he had duck in the safety?
Yeah. That one was a drop, and then obviously the one we've talked about all week where Cam Ward's dad looked like he was he was about to...
Yo, he looked like he ate some bad Crystal Burgers or something.
Well, I told this story on Monday, TD. I just got back from Blacksburg, so I was up in my room. I was unpacking, and I laid down in bed for a second watching that last drive. And when Calvin Ridley dropped that ball, I reacted so abruptly that my calf cramped up.
Dang.
And like I'm like in pain, and my fiance is like, "What's wrong? Was it really that bad of a play?" I'm like, "Yeah, kind of, but I'm also in pain." That me and Cam Ward's dad both had very violent reactions to that drop. Alec Iermanner also had a drop. We don't talk about that one as much. One Cam Ward kind of sidearmed it around a defender. It did hit Alec in the hand. So that's at least 4 right there.
He didn't know that was coming.
Right.
He told me. He was like, yo, like, I'm running the route, and I'm looking, and I see the D lineman, and I don't see the quarterback. I'm like, that ball's not coming. And next thing you know, you see this arm, and it's coming. So,
yeah.
They're going to get used to it.
Yeah. So, it's game 1, and maybe that makes you wish they had played more together in the preseason. Like, I guess that could be one of the takeaways from it, is that they clearly weren't fully prepared for Cam Ward and the timing and the pace on those passes. But overall, I think if you actually watch how Cam Ward performed, he was on time. He made some really impressive throws. And I've said it all week, the most impressive thing, he didn't put the ball in danger once.
Yeah,
The last play of the game where, I don't know if they called that a fumble or incomplete.
It was a fumble.
They called it a fumble.
He came in untouched.
It was 4th and 10 with 30 seconds left in the game. It's like, but overall, there were no plays where you're like, man, he got lucky to get that one back.
Right.
He made good decisions, and he's got to build on it. It wasn't perfect. The sequence that everybody's going to put on Cam are the two sacks back-to-back that took them out of field goal range. Mm-hmm. And I thought top tier on the YouTube chat made a good point that if there was a possession after a turnover to just run it three times and take your points, it was that one.
You're
late in the third quarter down by one, like, or down by two at that point. You just kick your field goal and you take the lead. That was probably the one time where you should have been more conservative.
No, absolutely. That was a time where you should have been more conservative. I'll add this, though. One other one, he missed on the sprint out. And some people said that where Nick Bonito got the sack.
Yes.
He beat Dan Moore Jr. Some people say, hey, that was a bad call. I like the call because what you're doing is you're making it simple for you. It's sprinting him out, get him on the move. He plays well on the move, right? But then you're cutting the field, you know, in half from that
right.
Hash to the sideline. And it's like, hey, look, one, two, three. If it's not there, throw it away. Or you have the option to run.
Right.
You know what I mean? Of course, Bonito was able to get the sack, but he had Van Jefferson open in the corner of the end zone.
Right.
Missed
yes.
him.
Yes.
Okay, he's not perfect. It's going to happen, but that's another one that you could point out that is a play that he probably would want back.
Yes, that third down in the red zone ended up having to settle for three. And on the first sack, the second down sack after the muff punt, Brian Callahan, I thought, put it very it was a good answer about why that was a sack, because Tony Pollard was supposed to be the safety outlet. And if you watch back on the film, Tony Pollard just ran right he blocked, and then he tried to get out and ran it right into another defensive lineman. There was just nowhere for him to go. And with Cam Ward, it's like, yeah, you can get on him for holding the ball too long, but he didn't really have much answers other than if you throw it away, it's intentional grounding. It's the same exact result as if you take the sack.
Yeah, great point.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have questions for TD, make sure to get them in. We are going to do our Talk to TD segment coming up at 10. You can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll keep talking Titans. Also, I know Chase and Big Joe brought it up yesterday. I am doing something very unique tonight with Chase, and I want some advice on any help that I can get with something over at the Nashville Fair. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. This Sunday, catch the Eagles versus the Chiefs for the NFL Game of the Week on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Super Bowl rematch starts at 3:25 p.m. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. Getting ready for week two, Titans and Rams coming up from Nissan Stadium at noon on Sunday. More to get to on the Titans. I actually just came across this chart. And week one, we've gotten all the quarterback charts, and Cam Ward usually has been kind of in the middle. But here's one from Stat Account on Twitter. They have 9,000 followers, so I'm going to take their word for it. Cam Ward had the hardest, tried to make the hardest throws in the league last Sunday. His completion probability percentage was well beyond everyone else in terms of how low it was. So Cam Ward tried to make the hardest throws in the NFL, and he was about league average when it came to accurate throw percentage. So maybe you don't want Cam Ward to be having to make those difficult throws. I said to Corey, get him some layups this week. Like, I think that's important. He only completed 42% of his passes, and I know drops and other factors worked into that, but I'd love to see just get him some easy ones early on to get Cam Ward in a rhythm.
Yeah, you got to get him in some type of rhythm, that's for sure, because that's what he is, right? He's a rhythmic passer, and just like anything, as a person doing something, you want to get into a groove, and that's a good way to do it by like quick outlet, you know, sprint out, have motion Calvin Ridley from right to left and have him run the speed out and sprint out to have Ward sprint out to that left side and boom. You know, those types of things, they got to do that.
Excited to see Cam Ward on Sunday against the Rams. Another tough defense. Cornerbacks not quite as impressive as Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss. It's still a really good secondary, but maybe could have some more separation for his receivers. See if he can have a better game Sunday in week two. TD, figured this is a good time to bring this up. So Chase and Big Joe have convinced me to compete in a cow milking competition tonight at the Nashville Fair. I got to say, I got a text from Big Joe about a month ago, right around there. And it was, what are you doing on September 11th? Would you want to compete in a cow milking competition for 102.5 The Game? And it's Big Joe. I kind of assumed it was a joke. I thought he was just messing with me. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And now it's actually here. So tonight, 7 p.m. over at the Nashville Fair, me and Chase McCabe are going to be trying to bring home the trophy in the Nashville Fair cow milking competition. So anybody out there who has experience with this, I don't know, TD, have you ever milked a cow?
No.
neither have I. Parker?
TD, you're meaning to tell me you've never milked a cow before?
No.
I've never done it.
Listen. I went, Jeffrey Simmons, he had a fishing event on Tuesday, and I took my daughter there, and Jeff asked me to put a worm on the hook.
Yeah.
Like, just doing that was too much. So you talking about milking a cow? Nah, man.
I don't know what to expect whatsoever, but, you know, if you want to come out and watch Chase McCabe and I probably make a fool out of ourselves, Big Joe will also be emceeing the event.
Just get it on video. That's all I ask.
Right. That's what I've been told. My dad said he wanted a video. My fiance wants a video. 7988 asking, can we get this streamed? I don't know if it's going to be streamed anywhere, but if you want to come out to the Nashville Fair over at the fairgrounds, me and Chase are going to compete against other, local news personalities. I think it's most of the TV stations out there. So we'll see how it goes. If I had to guess, we're going to finish dead last. Like, that's my guess. I'm going to go in confidently. I hope that I can be a good cow milker, but I have
that's half of the battle right
I have
there is having the confidence.
Absolutely no faith that we are going to actually be able to compete in this thing. So anyway, if somebody out there has experience and has any tips for me, I'll take it. Also, get your questions in for TD, 615-737-1025. We're going to do our Talk to TD segment coming up next, so you can text or call. Again, 615-737-1025. 7988 says, I'm sure YouTube has a tutorial. Maybe I'll have to look that up this week or tonight because we're heading over there, 7 o'clock. We'll see how we do. 7988 also says the offense did not help Cam out. Cam's successes felt despite the whole offensive section of the Titans. I think that's a good point, too. Like, you look at play calling, offensive line play, wide receiver play. There really wasn't a whole lot. Towards the end of the game, they couldn't get a run game going. Cam Ward going to need a little bit more assistance on Sunday against the Rams.
Yeah, he's going to need a lot more assistance on Sunday against the Rams. And like you said, get him in a rhythm, run the football, play action. I mean, you got to get that play action working. And look, you don't have to run the football super effectively to do that, but you just got to establish the threat of the run, right? And so, you know, I get the run on first down, the second down, but it puts you in third and long.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not quick pass something on first down, and now you're at second and six, and you can say, okay,
right,
you know what? Let's run the football.
Yep.
You get 2 yards, now it's third and four, and it's like, okay, I have the option to either run the ball or play action or just spread it out and do it. It's just so much manageable when you're more effective on first and second down.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, don't get a penalty, right?
Yeah.
Because then that distorts the whole process, and it's just these are things that they have to figure out how to do.
Right. And one of the penalties that isn't being talked about a ton is Kevin Zeitler jumping on third and one, ended up being third and six, and then Tony Pollard fumbles on that play.
And Zeitler's a veteran. You can't have that.
Right.
You know?
Top tier on the YouTube chat also says, I feel like they could have taken more advantage of Denver's linebackers. Didn't have Dre Greenlaw out there with the tight ends. I agree. Like, Gunnar Helm got 2 targets in the first quarter, and then we didn't see him the rest of the day.
Yeah. Singleton had good coverage on that first one, but still, you're right. They could have taken advantage.
Right. I mean, Singleton, the play, even though we think it was a catch on the play they challenged, Singleton getting a hand in there and just making the ball move enough that the officials changed the call, like, that is a great play.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
The Broncos defense is full of guys outside of Patrick Surtain who are maybe a little unsung. Like, I don't know if everybody knew Nick Benito was one of the best pass rushers in the NFL heading into this year, but he gets $120 million and he ends up basically lighting up Dan Moore all day long. So,
and you know what? While you're talking about that, Brian Callahan said, hey, he gets paid a lot of money to do that. Dan Moore, he doesn't get paid as much.
He gets paid a lot of money to
yeah. slow that down.
Yep.
You know, and so, there's growth that has to happen.
Right.
I think that's really the best way to put it. There's growth that has to happen. And, you know, and I get you want to be, hey, I want to make sure I protect my guys, et cetera, but you got to call a spade.
Right.
Dan Moore has to play better. He has to.
The conversation around Dan Moore is like, this has always been the book on him, is that he's fine against average pass rushers, but he struggles against the top guys. It's like, hey, you got to at least put up a fight, because there were too many reps on Sunday where it was just instant pressure on Cam Ward from the blind side. Cannot have that this week against the Rams. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you. Let's get to talk to TD. 615-737-1025. If you have questions for TD, this can be about anything. And we do have a couple of cow milking tips on the text line. Oh. We can get to those too. If you have questions for TD about anything, Titans, NFL, college football, Mets, life, get them in. 615-737-1025. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, second hour coming up here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.